Amen. Asafo Nintena say. And I know pay ye da iradia se se odi yen kwa adum yen nimpu yaba abishia ewone naya se se yibiti nasem naya sum na yedi enije asum abum pese me da papa sofo ne asafun penyi fo ase se ene omuchu si se memra na mene asafun omra meche nyame asem. I want to thank Papa Sofo, the District Minister, Reverend Bembel, and the leadership of the church for granting me this opportunity to share the word of God this morning in this August pulpit. I also want to thank everyone for coming this morning. It is my prayer that this morning's service will be a blessing unto us all. Everyone here is looking very good. And I want to take that as the goodness of God upon our lives and our families. Amen. Amen. For our brothers and sisters who are joining us on our online handles, we say welcome to you. We hope this morning's word will be a blessing to you as well. Before I get into the message and the word, I would want to have my brother Kofi Buzia, read a verse for me in P. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 and 16.
Timothy nguma tosumye no nyimu etimiansa enyimu dunsia atwere nyina firi nyankopon home mu na eyema nkyerekyere atanyie atinitini anitinini emuyeni awradia somni
amen yedase yedase pachomomie mompae. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we've gathered here this morning at your feet. Lohim, you are the reason for this gathering. We call upon you this morning, O Spirit of God, that come, O Father, and speak to us. Father, use me as a vessel and let your voice be heard. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Father, as your word comes, pray that, Father, Lord, it would land on that good soil, on that heart that would accept in the name of Jesus. We pray and we take authority and we take charge over this place in the name of Jesus Christ. And we bring every spirit and every power under the subjection of the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. Father, rule in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, the theme that has been selected for us to talk about is repentance. Repentance. And I made my brother read that Bible verse for us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 and 16, that the word of God by itself and alone, the word of God alone by itself, no clapping, no dancing, no shouting, no screaming, the word of God alone by itself has power. And that is useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting and training in all righteousness. When you are going to say, Neba, to me womb, and what in womb, ye attain, chre. Amen. Our theme is righteousness. Repentance. And when I was given the theme, I was like, "Theme, where there so be anymore? Repentance. Say yes, sakra ya dwen. Say ye dani ye ho ye ba ye nyankopon ho de." It's a very common one. And so this morning, my message to you is very short. And then afterwards, we will spend some time in prayer. Repentance. I was looking at the definitions, and sometimes for the sake of transliteration and translation, you'd want to go down into the root words so that you can grasp the full meaning of the word as it was. And so I was looking at the translations from Hebrew. You know, the Old Testament was written in Hebrew. The New Testament was written in Greek with a little bit of Aramaic and Latin. I was looking at these words, the root words in Greek and in Hebrew. And the Hebrew meaning, it's a mouthful, I'm not going to mention it, but it means to return. It has the element of return. And the Greek meaning means change. Change. So we have return and we have change. And then the modern day English defines it as, you know, sincerely regretting or being remorseful over something. So putting it all together, we could say repentance means to change. It means to turn around. It means to be sorrowful about something and to be remorseful about something. It is all together. Modern day English also have a prefix in repentance. Repentance is two words put together. The prefix re and then pent. Re here means to do it again. And so there are words like remember, to bring it back to memory again. Retouch, to touch it again. Readjust, to adjust what has already been adjusted again. Rewrite, re-enter. So this prefix just means that it being done again. And the English word pent means like a height, like a very high height. So we have penthouses, and sometimes they have, you know, activities on a penthouse. It's a very tall house. It just depicts height. These were the meaning and the definitions that we could all put together and arrive at, I would say, a complete meaning of the word repentance. We could say it is the recognition of sin or flaws that involves godly sorrow and commitment to change directions to a better place. You realizing that you've done something that is wrong, it is sinful, committing to change and turn around to a better place. When we talk about repentance, and it's a we need to bow on hustle, say bibi a wo ye enye a twichima and so any. Na ubes sant wa drain. Na wa ye ude a mwa dean shim say ube dano hue free home. Nempu wako bebia eye. Repentance. Yabriba tree moa. The tree word here was minya. Se ube pa unwechi. Se ube se samwa jene. Se ube free nienya hon. It all comes together. That when we have to repent, there is a need for us to make our minds to change, to move away from that which is sinful and come to Christ. Say in a Christoph way, and I don't pay. When it comes to repentance, it's just not a matter of feeling. People can feel sorrowful and remorseful when they do the evil thing because, one, someone is going to hear about that bad thing that they did. We see it on TV every day, on the news every day. People commit murder. And then when they are caught, they feel very remorseful. But that is not repentance. That alone is not repentance. So then repentance is more like a process which will start with the feeling. You feel sorrowful, godly remorse. You feel remorse. And then you move on from that feeling to change your mind, to turn away from it and head towards the good path. Amen. The Bible verses that were read for us, the one in Luke chapter 15, the whole of Luke chapter 15 talks about how the joy that fills heaven when one man changes his mind and repents. And so the parable that Jesus mentioned, three parables in that particular chapter. The first one was about the one that was read, the one that we really want to focus on was the one that, the first two were about when the lost coin, when you have so much money, say $10,000, and you lose $100, you will not say, oh, I have so much, so I'm going to leave that one. No. You're going to bend over. If it is under the bed, if it went under the cabinet, wherever it went, you're going to take it and add it to it. You may kind of say, so ukra 10,000. Na ba akukra free, so $100 bill ba akuk free, so a. Ube bu mu nwa hwehwe. Nwa hwe bebi akoko toye nwa fa. Na odi aka ho. Na waka se abo ano. Sika no ano abo. In that same way, when one person decides to change his way, when one person decides to turn around, heaven rejoices. The host in heaven celebrate. And this whole parable, I think, is much more captured, is better captured in the verses beyond what was read for us. The one that talks about a young man who went to his father and requested that his portion of inheritance be given to him. We all know that story so well. It is the story of the prodigal son. Bible says his father agreed and gave him his portion. Nanka Bible nankasa kase, until the person passes away, the inheritance is not inactive. It is inactive. But the father gave this boy the inheritance. And Bible says he went to a very far country and he blew everything up. But when he came to his senses, that he was so much in pain and hunger, he decided to turn around. He decided to change his mind. He decided to just leave it there and return back home. And we all know the story so well. The joy, the banquet that was thrown for him, the celebration that went on, the change of clothes, what his father did for him when he returned back. This is what happens when you decide to turn around from sin, when you decide to turn around from evil ways. Hallelujah. Here in our church, when we have naming ceremonies, babies are dedicated to God, and the parents and the entire church is tasked with bringing up the child in the fear of God, so that when the child grows of age, the child would confirm the baptism that was conducted at the naming ceremony or baby dedication. Na yede ne she oma ameni o papa ene asafo ni mu nyina nsa se omo ntete akwara no wonyame suru mu asakwara ni nyino du emfie bia omo ba begina ha no ma ye confirmation no ma ka to dwa who they believe in. And I remember the last part of the recitals. Oh Yesu se mi wu and then they commit their lives into God's hands. And if you have ever been through that process, you know that is when your Christian life begins. You are tempted, you face all kind of temptations and trials, like everything is happening in one day. When we have to repent, when there is that need to repent, my brothers and sisters, you need to come to that place. That place where you come to God and you say, Father, I turn around from everything and choose to go your way. I was talking about the other definition for repentance. Bible says that in the beginning, Genesis chapter 1, verses 26, when God had finished creating everything, he said he gave us dominion. He gave us power. He gave us authority. That is where we belong. That is the height where you belong as a child of God. Once you come in and accept Christ Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, that is where you belong. You don't belong at the bottom. You don't belong at those lowly places. You belong at the pent. You belong at the summit. You belong at the place where it is authority, it is dominion, it is rulership. And that is what Christ Jesus did for us. So if you believe in Jesus, that is where you belong. So change your ways. At the bottom, there is chaos. At the bottom, there is gossip. At the bottom, there is all manner of sins. Drunkenness. Fornication. Adultery. These things belong at the bottom. This morning, my message to you is repentance. The message for you and I is to turn around and head towards where we belong, where there is dominion, where there is power, where there is authority, where there is rulership. That is where you and I belong when we come in Christ Jesus. This morning, leave the lowly places. This morning, leave the lowly places. Let go, let go, let go, let go. Let go of the chit chat. Let go of the gossip. Let go of the lies. Let go. Let go. This morning, the message is repentance. If you're here, you're struggling with alcoholism, with adultery, it is my prayer that as we read the word, that the word of God alone, no shouting, no clapping, no jumping, no gimmicks, has power to instruct you in righteousness. The word of God alone by itself. Bible says it rebukes. And so as I was preparing for this, I was like, how am I going to say this? I have my fathers in here, I have my mothers in here, but it is the word of God. But I want you to take it in good faith and say, I'm going to turn around. And say, I'm going to leave it. And say, I'm going to go the right way. I'm going to head towards where I belong. The place of power. The place of authority. The place of dominion in the name of Jesus. Don't feel I'm just talking to you. I'm also talking to myself. We all have our weaknesses. We all know where we struggle. But this morning, I'm calling you, just as the word of God is calling you to repentance. Change your ways. Change your ways. Change your ways. Last Sunday, was it a communion Sunday? Papa Bembele preached you a say. So, uba Christo moi, you become a new creation, but the old nature is still there. That means that repentance is actually not a one-day thing. It's a process, and you always have to be conscious of it. You always have to be mindful of it and choose the right path. Bible says that path is narrow. That path is narrow. It is not like the broad way. It is a narrow way. But choose that one. Choose that one. Talking about choices, Joshua led the people of Israel to search him one day. And he narrated all the benefits that the Lord has done for them in previous years. And he gave them the option to choose. But he urged them to choose the way of God. This morning, the message is repentance. You have a choice. Absolutely, you have a choice. But I urge you to choose the right way. Choose the narrow way. Hallelujah. Repentance, they say, tiao. Now, you better then you repent. I don't know it all, but I'm going to share with you just a couple of them, and then we enter into a time of prayer. The Word of God. The Word of God. The Word of God. I can't emphasize it enough. I'm always with our little ones, our little brothers and sisters at JY, and I keep hammering this. That it is the word of God. That is the only thing. That is your foundation. That is your hope. That is your rock. The word of God. Get the word. Get the word. Get the word. As I said, repentance is not a one-day thing. You have to live in it. It has to be a daily thing. It should be part of you daily. I was looking at a meta-analysis of a research that was conducted in California, Santa Cruz. And they said, on the average, men speak about 7,000 words in one day. When it comes to the women, I'm sure you're guessing, and your guess is right. They speak about 20,000 words in one day. And I'm like, this is just communication. This is just words. This is just language. We haven't touched on anything. 7,000 words in a day. But the Bible says that his mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. Through one man, sin entered the world. And through one man, sin has been taken care of. Christ Jesus died on the cross. And when he said it was finished with the sin at that time, today, and the sins to come. It is finished. It doesn't matter how far you've fallen. It doesn't matter how far you've gone. But like the prodigal son, turn around. Come to your senses. Sorewaka. And move towards the place where you belong. You don't belong in the lowly places. You don't belong in where they sit to drink and waste time. You don't belong at that place where they sit to just talk about people and blow time. You belong to that place where you think creatively. You come up with ideas. Ideas to help the church. Ideas to help God's children. That is where you belong. That place of supremacy, that place of dominance, that is where we belong. When him round also. So many opportunities here in America. So if you sit here in this country and remain at the lowly place, that is not where God wants you to be. That is not where God wants you to be. God wants you to be, let's read that verse. Genesis chapter 1, verses 27. Is it 27 or 26? Let's read that verse. Let's read that verse. Genesis. Projection team, are you there? The next one. About creation. Let's read it. That's where we belong. 28. Okay. So God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful. Increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. That word subdue means take charge, take authority, rule over the fish and the sea and everything that he created. That is where you belong. But man fell. Through one man, sin came into the world. But through Jesus Christ, we were restored to this place. So this is where you belong. Repentance takes you here, where you subdue what God has created and you take charge and you rule. Let's leave the lowly places. I can't say it enough. Let's leave the lowly places. Akayo, and we team in our coming, backstabbing, side stabbing, front stabbing, and yes, say, no, can't say, and yes, say, to me, yes, say, and can't say, to me, yes, say. Let's leave it. We should not be talking about these. These are the elementary things in the faith. We should grow and move on and occupy where we belong. The place where we rule, the place where we gather as Christians, we say a word and the state listens. The place where you go to work and you stand as a child of God, you give an idea and they're like, why? How did you think about this? That is where you belong. Don't engage your time and your energy and your thoughts with lowly and little things. Let us repent. Let us rise up and come back. The first Bible reading that was read for us was about King David. We all know how powerful King David was. This same David that knocked down Goliath and cut off his head with his own sword. The same David, it was in spring, time for soldiers to go to battle. And the king was just loitering and just taking it easy. We all know the story so well. Went to see Bathsheba, taking a bath. And everything just started going in circles. It was time for this man to be at the battlefront. It was time for him to defend Israel. It was time for him to go as a valiant man to go and fight to defend his people. But he was taking a stroll. Sometimes, when you leave your time and you don't feel it, the devil will find work for you. The devil will find work for the idle hands every day. Fill your life with activities. It doesn't matter how old. Get register for a course. Take a class. Take a music class. Take a sports class. Occupy your time. If David had been on the battlefield as a strong, valiant man, as David as we know, probably victory would have even come earlier. But the guy was taking a stroll. And we all know so well what happened. He called on Bathsheba, lay with her, and then he had to now go ahead to devise this wicked scheme to kill Bathsheba's husband, Uriah. Send a message to the commander that call me Uriah. Soldier came in, such a loyal servant when you read the word. 2 Samuel chapter 11. Such a valiant man, such a dedicated soldier. He came home. David wanted him to go and sleep in his own tent so that he would sleep with his wife and then it would be like a cover-up. The man said, no. Soldiers are on the battlefield. I'm not going to sleep in the tent. It's a wrong time for me to do that. So he slept at the entrance of the palace. When you get a chance, read it. And then David realized that that strategy didn't work. He then called the commander and put such a loyal, innocent soldier, put him at the forefront of the battle where it is so fierce. And David commanded that they should retreat and leave him alone so that he would die. They did it, but more soldiers also died. So it wasn't just Uriah that died. It was more soldiers, valiant men, died because of David and what he did. It was then that when you read the next chapter, chapter 12, that Nathan came to him and said, what have you done? There was a man who had a lot of flock, a lot of lamb. But when he had a visitor, he used just one that belonged to someone who had none. And that was all he had. And David was first. I wish we could read that word. Oh, that man should be killed. That man is a wicked man. It's a bad man. Yenkunu. 2 Samuel chapter 12, okay, verse 1 now. The Lord sent Nathan to David, and he came to him and said to him, there were two men in one city which one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceedingly many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb which he had bought and nourished and grew it up together with him and his children. It ate of its own food and drank from its own cup and lay in his bosom. And it was like a daughter to him. And a traveler came to the rich man who refused to take from his own flock and from his own herd to prepare one for the wayfaring man who had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him. David, verse 5. So David, anger was greatly aroused against the man, and he said to Nathan, as the Lord lives, the man who has done this shall surely die. And he shall restore fourfold to the lamb, because he did this thing because he had no pity. Then Nathan said to David, you are the man. Eyewo.
One thing about David is that he knew how to approach the throne of God. He knew how to assess forgiveness. He knew how to repent. Immediately, he said, I have sinned. He said, I have sinned. David repented. He turned around. We all know the story so well. The child died. Uriah died. But eventually, Bathsheba became David's wife. What I'm saying here, and what I want to draw your attention to, no matter how far you've fallen, because with David's situation, committing adultery and committing murder, there was no sacrificial atonement in the law. The law didn't make provision. There were so many sins that when they commit, they tell you, go and bring a pigeon, go and bring a sheep. They offer it as a sacrifice and your sin is atoned for. At that time, there was nothing like that for adultery and murder except death. But this man knew how to approach God. This morning, I present to you, we are living in a totally different dispensation where grace abounds, where Jesus Christ paid for it all. Don't live in self-pity. Don't live in sin forever. Rise up, change direction, and head home. Head towards home, where you belong. Where you belong. Go and lead your family. Go and be there for your children. Go and be there for your work. Come home and serve in the church. Turn around and leave the lowly things behind. Hallelujah. This morning, when I came to church, this place is so much charged. And I wish I was speaking on something like the blessings of God. I wish I was speaking on something like breaking curses. Something that is going to energize us and we are just going to do it with a lot of energy. But this is the message. A call to repentance. A call to turn around and come back. Come back to where you belong and take your rightful place. Come back. Come back. As I said, how? The word of God. You can't leave it out. The word of God. Memorize it. Read it. If you don't get a chance to read it, play the audio on your way to work. When you're going to bed, play the word. It is the word. Let it fill you. Let it fill you. Let it fill you. And live that life of daily repentance. Not waiting. Hallelujah. Let the word fill you. When you are faced with temptation, Jesus Christ demonstrated it. The devil took him to a high place. After he has fasted for 40 days. And we all know the story so well. But it is the word that Christ had that he was able to overcome. Let the word be part of you. It is good to come to church. It is good to have fellowship like this. But let the word be part of you. In the morning, in the evening, memorize it. I was so happy the last time I saw that we were doing Bible memory verses in this church. So it is projected and then we all go through. If you do that, just the Bible memory verses that is projected on Sundays. If you do just that one in the whole year, by 1 month, you have 4 under your belt. By the end of the year, you have 4 times 12 memory verses. And this is what you need to overcome. When Paul was talking about our battle gear, he said, and the sword of the Spirit, the word, the word. The word, the word. If you're going to live in daily repentance and not live in sin, it is the word. Bible says that with our heart, when it comes to righteousness, it is with our heart that we believe unto righteousness. But when it comes to salvation, which is so much connected to repentance, it is by confession. This morning, we will have that chance to confess and talk to God. Hallelujah. One other way is to set a day aside. In the Bible, there were so many people who demonstrated the power in fasting. Set a day aside. You could do it a day or two. People usually do the day of their birth. Could be Sunday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Set it aside and spend time in prayer. And as your flesh weakens,
And as you weaken the flesh and you starve it of food and energy, the spirit man inside you gains energy. The spirit man inside you is strengthened so that when it comes against trials, temptations, you'll be able to stand. Hallelujah. The last one I would want to add is fellowship. The Bible says we should not stop it. Come to church. Hear a word. If it is prayer time, join the prayer line. Lift up your voice in prayer. Be part of it. Hallelujah. The corporate prayer, the resource it yield is totally different from when you do it alone. Bible says one shall chase 1,000, but two shall chase more, 10,000. Hallelujah. When we are praying together as a church, don't take yourself out. Be part of it. And let us all worship. And let us all live this life that the Lord wants us to be. Let us turn around from the sins of this world, from the desires of this world, from the temptations of this world that keeps us in bondage, and move on to that place where God has called us to be in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. This morning, as our brother read for us, the word of God by itself has power. It's a power to rebuke and power to reprove, power to instruct. And this morning, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, as I speak these words unto you, and as you agree with me, may the power in the word bring liberty. Hallelujah. If anyone is in any form of bondage, any form of addiction, any form of bondage, may the word of God bring liberty in the name of Jesus. If anyone is in that state of confusion and doesn't know what to do, that state of confusion about a choice, about a decision in life, may the word of God, the power that is in the word, bring you illumination today in the name of Jesus. May the word bring you restoration in the name of Jesus. If you're oppressed, depressed, and suppressed in any way, if you're bowed down and cast down, may the word of the Lord bring you an uplifting in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. May you find strength if you're weak. May you find strength. May your strength be restored. May you find strength if it is as a result of sickness. May you be healed in the name of Jesus, because it is the word of God. It is the word of God. Hallelujah. This morning, as I bring my message to an end, it is a call for repentance. In repentance, you have to change your mind. In repentance, you have to turn around. In repentance, you have to move back to where you belong. That place of authority, that place of rulership and dominion. Hallelujah. It is that place that you belong, and you have to move to that place. Hallelujah. As I bring my message to an end, I'd want us to pray with the third Bible reading that was read for us. It is believed that Psalm 51 was written after David was approached by Nathan of the sin that he has committed, of the murder that he has committed. And as I said, David knew how to do this. And so he went to God and he said, God, have mercy upon me. This morning, I'm the type that likes us to pray so loud and so fervently. But this morning, keep it to yourself. You know it more than I do. And you know it more than any other person knows. Keep it to yourself. David said, God, have mercy on me according to your loving kindness and according to the multitude of your tender mercies. He said, blot out my transgression. He said, wash me. He said, cleanse me. Because he had acknowledged his sins. This morning, we have an opportunity to confess with our mouth unto salvation. Hallelujah. To acknowledge our sins, that we may find forgiveness in accordance to God's word. He said, behold, I was brought forth iniquity. Even at conception, there is sin. So you can't say you have no sin. That would be a big deception. But David went on and said, purge me with hyssop. He said, wash me. One that I like so much when I was reading, it just caught my attention as never before. He said, with my heart, create a new heart in me. He said, wash me, cleanse me, sanctify me. But with my heart, give me a new one. Give me a new one. Create a new one in me. And he went and said, it is the broken spirit. It is the broken spirit that God does not despise. A broken spirit and a contrite heart, he would never despise. For he does not desire sacrifices, or else David, he would have had so much to sacrifice. He doesn't desire that. For you do not desire sacrifice or delight in burnt offering. But the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a contrite heart. These, oh God, will not despise. Hallelujah. This morning, don't harden your heart. You know it more than I do. You know it more than any other person. Talk to God. One good thing about fellowship is that sometimes we get such opportunities to just retrace our steps back and say, God, forgive us. Sometimes we try to defend some of the things we do. But inwardly, because the Holy Spirit lives in you, it rebukes you. And this morning, the word of God has come. We say, Owaha, Father, help me. Owaha, now it's a bonibimu. You know it. It's an opportunity to come to God and say, Father, forgive me, like David did. I don't think you've committed murder. That was how bad David's situation was. But the Lord restored him. We are living in that dispensation where no sin. There is no sin that the mercies of God cannot consume. This morning, we're coming into the presence of God. Irade metna wunchen. Irade metna wunchen. Namadonia wodo. Namayenia wope. Irade. God for this morning. I want you to give him praise for these words. As I said earlier on, sometimes we have to hear these words. They rebuke us. They rebuke us. It's not fun to hear some of these things, and it's more difficult to preach it here. But I want you to say, God, I thank you for these words. I thank you for these words. Father, we give you praise, Lord. Father, we magnify you in the name of Jesus for your words. We give you praise, Father, Lord, for refreshing us once again. And for bringing to remembrance what you did on Calvary's cross. And Father, bringing to remembrance where we belong, oh God. That place of dominion, that place of authority that, Father, Lord, you took us. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. We give you praise, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And I want you to pray and say, if there is anything that you battle with, that you war with, anything that stirs you, you have challenge with it, you know it's a big trouble. It could be gossip, it could be lies, it could be backbiting, it could be anything that you know it just eats you up. You always try to defend yourself. And my brothers and my sisters, God knows us. He knows us inside out. we can't hide anything from him. You can't hide it from God. Go into your hearts. Search deep down your hearts. The psalmist says, search within me. Search within me, Lord. Search within me. That if there is any sin, Father, say, God, forgive me of my sins. This thing that it just challenges me. Father, help me. Help me. Help me, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, we've heard this message over and over again in so many forms and ways. But this morning, we thank you for refreshing us, oh God. We give you praise, Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, for these words. Father, be our help. Oh God, we come to you. And no one that comes to you for help, Father, Lord, do you return. It's a broken and a contrite spirit that you do not despise. This morning, we are here at your feet. Father, be gracious unto us. Father, show us mercy. Father, show us mercy. Father, be gracious unto us in the name of Jesus. And now, if you know anybody who is battling with any form of addiction, pornography, adultery, fornication, anything that you know of someone who is battling with it, there is power in the name of Jesus. And there's liberty in his presence. Bible says in his presence are pleasures evermore. There's liberty in Christ. I want you to pray and just bring that friend, that brother, that sister, that family member. Bring them before the mercy seat of God and say, Father, touch them. Touch them by your mighty hand. Touch them by your word. Touch them in your own way. Touch them. Touch their hearts. Touch their bodies, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Those that are stricken by all kinds of sicknesses and ailments and diseases, Father, touch them and bring liberty in the name of Jesus. Father, bring liberty. Set them free, Lord. Set them free. They that are in bondage, Lord, set them free in the name of Jesus. May they experience liberty that is in you, that joy that comes. Father, Lord, when we place our hope and our trust in you, we give you praise, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Let us pray. King of kings and Lord of lords, Father, Lord, you are the reason for this gathering. We left home when we came to this place, Father, Lord, to come here and worship you, to come here and give you praise, and also, Father, pour our hearts to you. This morning, we thank you, Father, for these words. As we proofing and convicting as it sounds to us, we thank you, Father. We give you praise. We ask that, Father, that you, O God, who know the things of our hearts, some of the hidden things that nobody knows, Father, where can we hide from you? You are everywhere. The psalmist says, even if it digs down into the depth, there you are. We pray that, Father, you forgive us. Forgive us, O God, forgive us. And grant us mercy. Grant us strength, Father, that we'll be able to turn around and come to you. That we'll be able to trace our steps back, Father, Lord, and go to where you have prepared for us. That place of authority. You said you are with us. You are with us. We pray that, Father, you would heal us. That you would restore us. Father, those that are battling addiction, those that are battling with all manner of vices, we are asking in the name of Jesus that, Father, Lord, you set them free in the name of Jesus. Set us free, set us free, set us free, set us free, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Set us free, Lord, that we will worship you in liberty and in joy. That, Father, Lord, we will worship you. Father, Lord, some of us have strayed so far. We've strayed so far, but this morning you are calling us. We are asking for strength to just rise up and come to you. Father, Lord, that celebration, that joy in heaven. You, O God, that leaves the 99. That, Father, Lord, that joy in heaven, O God, will continue. Help us. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.